I want to say welcome to all of you all who are here for our Tuesday noon Bible study at Cross Culture Church. We're so excited about having an opportunity to meet. We are continuing in the book of Acts. We're about to close it out. We're at chapter 27. And after 28, we're going to be moving forward into the book of Daniel. So there's a lot of excitement and anticipation for that, because Daniel is going to lead us into Revelation, and for sure there's going to be some revelation in Revelation. So we're all excited about it, because we know in the end God wins, and when God wins, we win. Amen. So we're in Acts 27 today, and I have been graced to have another teacher with me today that I'm going to be calling on to bring some expertise into this. I love Acts 27. It's special to me because that was a time when I had a shipwreck, and I had to come in on broken pieces. So sometimes I want all of us to understand, when there's a word that comes from the Lord and it says stop, you know, don't go any further, don't do anything right now, hold up, it's best that you listen to God. And as we get into 27, we're gonna see that a word came, it was not heeded, and that was a devastating loss. There's a lot of good things here in 27. So I am going to dive into it, and I'm going to be looking for hands to be raised at any point. If y'all want to interject anything, I'm glad we got an elder in here, because I was going to preach some, but since he's here, I'm going to hold back.
You're free to do as the Lord could have you do.
All right. So I'm not going to preach. All right. So I got some people looking at me. All right. So let's move right on into it. We do have fun here for you all who can't make it and are listening to this podcast. Surely, we would love to have you to join us sometime. All right. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band, and entering into a ship of
Adramidium.
Adramidium. See, that's why we have to have teachers here with us. Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one
Aristarchus,
a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Comment.
Even as he was a prisoner, God still gave him favor.
Gave him favor. Mm-hmm. Gave him favor. You have to realize he's been locked up and been passed around from jail to jail for a while here. Mm-hmm. As we've been talking, he's been before Festus. He's been before Agrippa. He's been locked up for a minute. We've been talking about this. So he could use a little freshening up. He really needed to a little help there. Y'all, we would say he, I ain't gonna say that. All right. Anyway, he needed a bath and refresh himself. Four. And when we had launched from this, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came unto Myra, a city in Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. So Paul's getting moved to another spot. Mm-hmm. All right. So he's being transported. Now, he's going to where?
He's on his way to Rome.
He's on the way to Rome. Did not God tell him he was going to get to Rome? Yeah. God told him, said, you're going to get to Rome. And he had wanted to get there, but it was now time. And God said, oh, you're going to make it. And encouraged him, because if God hadn't have told him, don't you think he would have got discouraged going from jail to jail, giving his testimony to leader after leader. And God's got this thing all worked out for him. Right? Mm-hmm. Yep. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against. Sinidas, chapter, I mean, verse 7.
The sea is silent. I think it's
Nidus. The sea is silent. Okay, Nidus. The wind not suffering or not allowing us. We sailed under Crete over against Simone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, now whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now it's getting ready to get interesting. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now what?
Dangerous,
because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and saying to them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with what? Hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship. Now, lading there is
cargo.
All right, because all of these ships, they weren't just carrying people. The main thing was commerce, so they were carrying freight. You know, they were carrying stuff. All right. And the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Comment.
So Paul was warning them that the voyage would end in disaster and much loss, but they didn't believe him.
Mm-hmm. Why would they?
Well, there's another
thing. Why else wouldn't they believe him?
Maybe because he wasn't a sailor.
Okay.
Because God was financing his voyages everywhere he went. He didn't have to pay out of pocket. But still, all these different places where they were going to go, God had the glory. So I think God had a lot to do with it too.
Okay.
They didn't acknowledge Paul as a minister.
Aha. Uh-huh.
They thought he was just a person. Question probably came up. Why do you think you know what to do? Mm-hmm. You ain't never sailed no ship. Just shut up and go back down there and go to sleep.
Go to sleep. We know what we doing.
One other big glaring one is out here.
They were unbelievers.
Okay, still one more.
Paul had been shipwrecked a number of times, so he knew about the terror of the ship or the sea.
Mm-hmm.
This was his first rodeo.
All right, one more.
It's another one?
Yeah.
Another one?
Yeah. These guys were greedy. They had to get that ship there with that cargo.
Oh.
So by Paul saying, if you go take this, you're going to lose everything. They said, we got to take this ship. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't that they didn't notice that it was bad. They didn't think it was that bad.
Okay.
All right. So sometimes we look at situations and say, it don't seem like it's that bad. Mm-hmm. Or I think I can get past this. I got this. How many times have you told people, or how many times have you been told, I'm just going to say for me, I was told, if you continue on in this way, you're not going to like the end. And I said, I got this. It ain't I'm going to testify. It was me. I was like these folks here. It ain't that bad. I can control it. I can get past this situation. It's not that bad.
And they probably said, we've dealt with these type of storms before.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could just go through the storm, it's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Similar to when today when we are driving and there's a storm, mm-hmm. and we say, if we can just make it through mm-hmm. this storm, we're going to be all right.
Mm-hmm. Even so, when they're going mm-hmm. through water, mm-hmm. you know, when people say, oh, I can go through this. And before you know it, the water is all around the car, and they're right. trying to get out the car.
It's gone.
Same thing we used to tell our children. You know, I would advise you not to do that. I really would advise you not to do that. But guess what?
They did it.
They go.
Hey, you got. They got to go through the school of hard knocks. They got to see for themselves.
Now remember Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seem right. Yeah, it seemed right. So they thought they could do it, right?
Yep.
It happened in Houston, too.
Oh, yeah.
It happened in Houston.
Well, it happened on the islands when they were telling them that storm was of such a category. A lot of them hunkered down and decided that they were going to stay. And so, you know, and it was the same way down in New Orleans. They told them.
With Katrina.
So we're looking at, so is this word still good today?
Definitely. Yeah.
Huh? We still looking at and could talk about the same thing.
Exactly.
People were told they forged on with their own way. 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart them also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete and lieth toward the south, west, and northwest. What they're saying here is they said, if we can just get part of the way, like he was saying, we can get over here and ride it out. Mm-hmm. So they really, again, thinking that they can get past what it's looking like, but still not recognizing that the word has come forth. Mm-hmm. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing this, they sail close by Crete. So here they go. They thinking they making it, right? Mm-hmm. It's looking like it's going to be okay. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind. And it's got a name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do have a name. Euroclodon.
And that sound like a bad boy. So now
it's a hurricane.
Yeah. So now
they named the winds like we named the hurricane.
Right. So now this one had, it wasn't just a regular bad wind. This one had a name to it. Mm-hmm. All right. But he told them, right?
Yeah.
So they went on thinking that they could make it, right?
Now my Bible says northeastern.
Yeah,
and
northeastern.
I think they use that term today.
Yeah, northeastern.
Mm-hmm. The northeastern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her dive. Y'all, now I don't know if y'all watch any of those movies, but they went up like that, and they were going up on the waves. Because when they're talking about winds, winds drive water. Right. All right? Right. So it makes the waves come up. So they went up on one.
And down on the
dive on the next. Mm-hmm. All right? And let her dive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, they had much work to come by the boat. Y'all know what that means? That means there was a lot of water in there, and they trying to get it out in the boat now.
You trying to dip it out the boat.
Yeah, you trying to scoop, shovel, bail. They in trouble now. They in big trouble now. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding a ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksands, strike sail, and so were driven. And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Cargo overboard.
They were throwing the stuff out of the boat. It was that a sink.
They already got water. It's a mess now. Wow. They can't get the water out, so you got to lighten the load. All right. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. So now we really in bad shape. The stuff that's taken to run the ship, we got to throw that overboard because we're going down. So now even if you do make it, how you going to sail the ship? You all of the things that hold the ropes, all of the metal pieces that hold the poles that hold the sails, all of that stuff, they had to throw the brackets and the things that weighed a lot, they had to throw them off. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Oh, it's bad now. You can't see the stuff. And you do know that that's how they guided the ship, right? They had to look at the stars and try to figure out which directions.
That's
and
right.
that so now they don't even have no direction. They can't see nothing. It's dark. The wind's still blowing. They done threw away half the stuff on the ship. It's a mess going on now. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs," Paul, your Paul's a little wrong for this one, buddy.
Yeah, that was pretty wrong.
But he had to tell him, right, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." That was a stab, cause the ship going, but we're not going to lose any life. All right. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before who?
Caesar.
And lo, God have given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of a good cheer." For what? "For I believe God that it should be even as it was told to me." Is this not Paul again giving another testimony? Boy, he been for Agrippa, justice. He been telling them, "Hey, God working with me, right? And I'm going to Rome because there is a God. I believe in him, and I'm telling you, you already see the first part of this, right? Didn't I tell you what was going to happen? So now do we not have just a validation of his word? Now we got a chance for a real testimony and a witness unto God."
But it's like a lot of times when we try to warn some people, we tell them, "I think you said it. The way in which you're going, there's a way that seems right into a man, but the end thereof is disaster.
I would advise you not to go that way."
I think it would be better if you didn't go that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they go that way anyway.
And they go that way anyway.
Now when trouble comes, they're ready to listen now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Hate to say I told you so.
Yeah. But now let's think. If this had not happened, what kind of testimony would Paul have had to say to them in the boat or even after he left? Sometimes in a situation, it have to be dire for you to see God.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it has to be a situation. And then to see that there's a rescue. Now, here we're going to see the testimony. We're going to see the testimony. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're going to see the testimony. "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." I love this. He said, "We're going to make it to the island." But the ship not. But we're going to make it. "But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria."
Adriatic.
That's the Adriatic Sea. I got to shorten on my thing here.
Uh-huh.
"About midnight, the shipmen deemed that they were near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Y'all, let me help you. Y'all know what's going on here. The water is getting shallower and shallower. They're about to run aground, which is what the bottom of the boat's going to get torn out, and that's how they're going to lose everything.
So that you can sound off and they can tell exactly how the depth of the water?
It goes down and then that rings a bell when it hits at a certain thing. I think that's when they can tell.
You need a Navy person.
I think it's like a ball on a thing, and it has a when it goes down again, it hits the thing, mm-hmm. it rocks the bell, and that's when it sounds. Each nodule on the thing is for however many fathoms or feet it is in the water. So it's kind of like an anchor
like a buoy,
yeah. Yeah. And as it goes down, when it hits something, then that rattles it to make a noise, so you can tell. Mm-hmm. It's a knot on each one of them to say how many fathoms it is. So when it makes the noise, you can look and see where it is. All right. Then it sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast how many anchors?
Four anchors
off of the stern and wished for the day, hoping that those anchors was going to bring the ship to a stop. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, they got the little side boat. They getting ready to what do you call that little one on the side? They got the little one the lifeboat. All right, so they're getting ready to try to let down the lifeboat in the sea, on the colors though, that they would cast anchors off of the fourth ship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Mm-hmm. It's preaching time. You got to stay in the boat. Huh? You got to stay in the boat to be saved.
They probably had an argument about that. He don't know what he's talking about. And so the other guy said, well, he was right last time.
Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Mm. And when the day and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for our health, for there shall not what? A hair fall from the head of any of you. Mm. All right? So now Paul, they listening now, right?
Yeah, they listening.
Paul said, listen, we've been fasting and been going on. Now it's time to go ahead on and eat, because it's going to be okay.
They're glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah, they were definitely glad to hear that. All right? And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when they had broken it, they began to eat. Mm-hmm. Do that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. But this wasn't the Last Supper, right?
Right.
then they were all of a good cheer, and they also took some meat. They all ate. And we were in all the ship. How many? 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, unto which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. So they saw a place they thought they could ease it into, right? Mm-hmm. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosened the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail in the wind and made it toward the shore. So they thinking they going to make it, right?
Right.
And falling into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the fourth part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. So now that the ship get caught in the front, the back part coming behind it, it just hit it like an accordion. Mm-hmm. It's stuck in the middle of the back coming. It's like, boom, it just crushes the ship. Mm-hmm. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Mm-hmm. We all going. Ain't nobody leaving. They ain't leaving. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And this is the preaching part. And the rest, some boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. They came in on broken pieces, but they made it. So let God be true, and let every man be a lie. Huh? Yeah. We got a lot of stories out of this. It's a lot of examples out of this. We only touched on a few. All right, let's go for it.
Touch on those stories you're talking about before we go forward.
All right. Paul had a mandate from God to go to Rome, even though it looked like it was a bad situation. The Lord spoke to him. We've talked about at least 6 or 7 times in between Romans and Acts when God intervened and told Paul either don't go here or go here, right? Or stand fast. Mm-hmm. So here we got a situation here. He had a word from God, number one, saying you're going to go to Rome. He had another word by the Spirit that told him we really don't even need to go on this boat because the boat going to be lost, but we still going to make it. So take in mind of that. Mm-hmm. So here we got stories that we can tell people about what's going to happen, and they don't believe us, but it's going to happen. And then Paul again said an angel came to him, right? So here's more confirmation from God that even in the midst of everything that can be really bad and look like your life is still tore up, even though God told you you were going to make it, sometime in the midst of the storm, you still have a question or two in your mind. Is that not the frailty that we have to contend with?
Yes.
We want to be full of faith. We want to believe that things going to work out. But sometimes when you're in the midst of the storm, you can't see past the storm. Mm-hmm. So here it is again. The angel came to him, and here was a chance when he could have been killed. But God had the centurion to stay the hand of the soldiers. Mm-hmm. So even when it looked like it ain't even on you, somebody else might do you in. God still got your back.
God used the centurion to allow Paul to visit his friends. Mm-hmm. So it was like the centurion, even though he wasn't saved, God still was able to use him. And it goes back to the scripture that we're familiar with in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose.
Right. Now, it didn't say that all things going to be good. No, it said all things work together.
Yes.
For good. Yeah. So, you know, you got a cake, you're going to have to break some eggs, and you're going to have to put the blender on some things. So there's going to be some breaking and some blending and some smashing and some heat in order to get that cake. So in our life, why do we think that in our life we're not going to have to go through some tribulations, some trials and tests, but God's going to get the victory in the end.
If you trust him.
If you trust him.
We don't like that.
And stay in the boat.
Oh, Pat said, no.
Oh, well, oh.
Come on. That's Pat said that again.
We don't like pain.
Pat said, we don't like pain. Do we have any pain lovers in here?
But you know, there's a phrase for pain.
What's that?
If there's no pain, there's no gain.
Yeah, but we still don't like that. Listen, why we have it? We make light of this. Yeah, we making light of this, but that is a result when you go to the gym. You just don't like the process in the gym. Mm-hmm. We like what happens afterwards, right? We get a little definition. We lose some things that were not so appealing. But it took some effort in there. And it took some aching and some liniment and some ointment. But if we stuck with it, the desired result came, right? Mm-hmm. So in this journey of life, there will be a shipwreck.
Ooh. And there's another phrase. Without a test, there's no testimony.
Mm. Yeah. So now look how many people now can say, God said we were going to get in there. The ship wasn't going to make it, but we were going to get in there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them that got in there said, bump the ship. I'm still alive. Mm-hmm. We can get another ship. Mm-hmm. Right? Right. Yeah. We get another car. Mm-hmm. Huh? We get another house, right?
If you stay healthy and alive.
Yeah. Come on.
One thing I thought about, I'm sure most of us, as young as we are now, have been in places where there was no light. You know, maybe you were down in a cavern and they turned up all the lights for a few minutes. But just to be out there on that ship, no stars or moon, with the wind doing all it was doing.
Yeah.
All that length of time.
Yeah.
They couldn't probably see each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless they had a candle or something, which the wind was blowing.
That length of time, I mean, I hadn't thought about it until this time of studying this. And I just know how sometimes when we're in driving at night and we're in an area, a neighborhood where it's hardly no street lights or anything, and you're grateful when you get in the vicinities where it's some lights.
Mm-hmm.
But wow, it just makes you appreciate light more.
I've been in my house and the lights went out. Mm-hmm. When the power go off in my community, pitch black dark. Mm-hmm. I'm just sometimes I think it's because of the airplanes or whatever it is and the smog and all that stuff, man. But you know, I come out this way, man, I see a lot of stuff I don't see over on my end of town. I'm like, really? Boy, that sky is really beautiful. Oh. Yeah, because of the planes, I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So again, there's a lot in this. Mm-hmm. So much in this. Staying in the ship. Mm-hmm. Staying with God, even though the storm, don't bail on him and jump into the ocean that you at least you know with him what you got. You know, I liken it to never commit suicide. Stay in the boat. Don't jump out and just say, well, I'm just done with it.
And say there's no hope.
No, there is hope. Even if you can come get a piece of the ship. Right? And they came in on broken pieces. The broken pieces were pieces of the ship.
That's right. Mm.
And we all have broken pieces in our life that God is still yet putting together.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
And the Word of God is so powerful and true. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, it just ironic that Paul is the one who wrote all these things I keep talking about. But 10 and 12, 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, it says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Mm.
But you have to be sensitive so that he can show you the way of escape.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yes.
All right. So we have done 27. When we get to 28, we're gonna finish 28, do a review, and our time is drawing now with Acts, and then we come back the first of the year after all of this eating and partying and being festive and giving out gifts and all. We'll be starting on Daniel.
It sounds like you're looking forward to that.
No. Not me.
So this is the last lesson.
No, we got one more. We got 28.
Okay. Then we have
a review and
holiday break.
Yeah, there'll be holiday break. They don't want it, but I'm just saying we're gonna have a holiday break. All right. Father, we just thank you not only for this day, not only for this word, but we are so thankful for you, your love, your long suffering, your compassion, your grace, your truth. We thank you, Lord God, as we leave this place, we're not from your presence. We ask you to encamp your angels round about us to protect us and keep us safe. And we call it done by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.